Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome you all to the Portland City Council. Before we begin the official proceedings of Council, I have two things that I would like to accomplish. First, I want to honor and welcome Jeanette Pai-Espinosa here this morning. Jeanette, could you come forward? I really want to thank you and your family for being here this morning. Please, yes. You can even have the center seat. But we're here to recognize you for all the work that you've done for the different communities in Portland and throughout our state. And I've known you since the mid-'80s, when you were the executive director of the Metropolitan
Human Rights Commission. When I was 15.
When you were 15, I'll point that out. She was very young. But I think you've been a wonderful person that has been passionate and dedicated and collaborative in our community. And you've been very important in helping the city restart the Human Relations Commission. And I really appreciate that. And so to honor you today, we have an official proclamation on this on behalf of the City of Portland that I'd like to read. Whereas Portland honors its residents who show leadership, service, and devotion to working for the betterment of the community, and Jeanette Pai-Espinosa has more than 25 years of experience in education, advocacy, public policy development, intercultural communication, program development, and direct service delivery. Whereas Jeanette Pai-Espinosa is president of the National Crittenden Foundation, a 124-year-old organization and the only national organization focused solely on at-risk and system-involved girls, young women, and their families. Whereas Jeanette Pai-Espinosa's past work at the Metropolitan Group focused on social issues such as poverty, racial and gender disparity, disproportional representation of children and youth of color in the child welfare and juvenile justice system, and bias crimes. And whereas Jeanette Pai-Espinosa was founder and executive director of CREATE, a 7th to 12th grade alternative school serving new immigrant, limited English proficient Latino youth and families. Whereas Jeanette Pai-Espinosa has a long history of service and civic engagement, serving as the director of the Metropolitan Human Rights Commission, chair of the Oregon Advisory Committee on the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, vice chair of the National Foster Care Coalition, was appointed by then-Governor Barbara Roberts as the State Director of Affirmative Action and Senior Policy Advisor on Human Rights. Whereas Jeanette Pai-Espinosa has fought for equal rights and protection of all members of our community, a champion of diversity, equity, education, and families. Now, therefore, I, Tom Potter, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim Wednesday, October 1st, 2008, to be an official day of appreciation for Jeanette Pai-Espinosa. As with all our honored guests, she gets a bouquet, and this is the official proclamation.
My question was, do I need to say something? And he said, oh, yes. So I'm saying something. I wanted to recognize the people that are here with me of many generations, all troublemakers of all different generations, and thank you for this honor and this recognition. I spent the better part of 10 years traveling around the country and spending less time in Portland and more all over doing this kind of work. And I have to say that the best part of that was when my hand pushed the door of the Portland airport and I could breathe the clean, clear air of Portland, whether it was raining or sunny, was a feeling of great freedom, if you will. I know you all understand that, given your commitment to the residents of the city of Portland. I love Portland not just for what it is and for what it tries to be, but for the fact that it's not perfect, and therefore the work that I have done that I know you're all committed to doing in terms of providing equal access to everyone is of the utmost importance. So I guess I would just give us all a reminder, and that is that being a good leader in doing the kind of human and civil rights work is really not about how many years of experience you have and really not about what you know or whether you know it all, but actually, in truth, I think having the humility to admit what you don't know and the courage to ask the questions that no one else will ask and the willingness to say I was wrong in service of the greater good. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. But please don't stay there for a second.
Please don't leave.
I asked Jeanette if she'd like to have anybody come up and say anything. She says, oh, no, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to do it for her. And we were going to ask a couple of folks, Leanne Locher and Jason Limp. Could you please come forward?
Okay, that's really not fair.
Well, there are some prerogatives of a mayor.
Hi, Jason. Good.
Yes. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I think that so often the people who do the kind of work that Jeanette Paez-Spinoza has been doing for years is not always recognized or seen, but the impact of their work is. And I am so glad that today that the city is recognizing the work that she has done. For over 10 years, Jeanette has been a mentor, a client, a colleague, and a client again, and very much a friend to the kind of work that I do. And I feel so fortunate to have learned from her. Together, we have worked on projects all over the country, work that includes social justice, human rights, intercultural communications, and Jeanette's commitment to process and ensuring that everyone's voice is heard at a table when it's not always easy to do. She does with grace and a good amount of laughter as well. I'm so pleased to be her friend, and I am so glad that she's being recognized today.
Thank you, Leanne. Jason.
Uh-oh. You're amazing. Jeanette is one of our advisors for one of our group called Just Portland. She's known my father for a while, and she's a great family friend of ours, and the fact that we got to work with her, it was amazing. As a young group starting out, we needed some guidance, and we needed some solid strength behind us, and that's what she provided for us. She invited us into her home, and she made sure we stayed on the right track, and she supported us in every which way. For me, the first time I ever testified in front of council, she was sitting next to me. She's like, you can do this, you can do this. And I did it. It wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be, but it was fun. But when I sat back down next to her, she was like, you did a great job. So from Just Portland and from the Lim family and from all of us, we love you very much, and thank you for being around.
Thank you.
Let's have a hand for Jeanette. Thank you so much, Jeanette.
Thank you.
Tom, may I just say one thing?
Please.
Jeanette, Carmen Rubio, who is my senior policy advisor, has told me a lot about you. And one of the things she talks about is your wisdom and your mentorship, and in particular, your guidance in the creation of Just Portland, which I think we all recognize is a tremendously important new organization. There's no better way to continue one's work for change than to mentor the next generation. And I want to thank you for your mentorship and for leading by example in our community. And I want to just say I look forward to working with you on issues of social justice and equity for women and girls, and look forward to the opportunity to work on many other issues in the future. And thank you
thank
for
you,
all your good work.
Thank you very much. Yes, you can.
Thank you very much. Again.
Good job. It is a good job. A little chair switch going on over here.
I'm trying to repair the damage Nick Fish did to my life here in council.
Next, each week we invite young people in to council to talk about issues of importance to our youth. And we have three exceptional young people today. They are all enrolled at Open Meadows in the CREW program. They've done some interesting work on what's called a Pangaea project. You folks who understand geology, that geologists have termed the original supercontinent that was in existence before they all broke up as the continent of Pangaea. But it's also symbolic about one world and being able to come together as a world. So with that, I'd like to invite Elizabeth Brenneman, Dan Smith, and Isabel Burry to come forward. So anybody can start speaking. When you speak, if you just state your name, we would appreciate that, and then tell us what you'd like us to know.
Hi, my name is Dan Smith.
I'm Elizabeth Brenman.
I'm Isabel Burry. I'm 17 years old, and I go to Open Meadow Crew. I'm a senior there. The Pangea Project is a nonprofit organization that serves low-income youth. It's, like you said, named after the supercontinent, and our motto is bringing the world back together. And this year, we're working very hard to make connections and tie and work on the relationships between countries. It's a 9-month program. It has 3 phases. Each phase has a pillar. And the first phase is called World Class. CLASS is actually an acronym. It stands for Connect, Learn, Act, Serve, and Solve. It's 4 months long and a 150-hour commitment. We meet weekly and sometimes on weekends to meet with other organizations and build relationships so that when we come back from a trip, we can update them and continue our relationships. We are a growing program, only 3 years old, so this is probably the biggest year for us because, excuse me, there are 2 teams of 5 schools and 17 students, 1 team going to Ecuador and 1 team going to Thailand. The Ecuador team's theme this year is environmental justice, and the Thailand's team is fair trade and labor rights. Both, while in our countries, are studying these themes with different communities and understanding what these themes mean. So during the world class phase, we're prepared on what those terms mean and why they aren't happening, and we meet with those organizations, bond as teams, and and we make connections and realize why these issues are so similar in Ecuador, Thailand, and Portland. The next phase is called international inspiration, and the pillar for that is global perspective. It's 5 weeks long where both teams are in their countries. And while immersed in another culture, you're living the daily life with those people. So your global perspective will naturally increase and you're gaining a new point of view. So you're learning new things. And coming back to Portland, you'll see things a different way. The third phase is local leadership. And the pillar for that is grassroots leader. A grassroots leader is a leader that has come from, well, the grassroots, and come up, and you work on an issue in your community, and you don't need to necessarily be a politician or a celebrity or have to have power and money, and yet you still work on that and make a change. That phase is 4 months long, and right now we're in that phase, and we're presenting to people, and we're working to let people know what we've been doing. So I'll pass it on to Elizabeth.
Okay, again, I'm Elizabeth. I'm 18 years old and a graduate from Open Meadow Crew. And I'd like to say, before the Pangea Project, I hate to admit, but I valued materialistic things like cell phones and iPods and Nike shoes and all that stuff. But it's really changed me. I'm not the same. But we spent 5 weeks in Ecuador, and during our time in Ecuador, we learned that they have a $14 billion debt, and so they've come to depend on oil exports as a way to bring in money. And the World Bank has put a lot of pressure on the Ecuadorian government to pay their debts, and so the Ecuadorian government is forced to put pressure on its people to let the oil companies in and drill on their land. And in the end, it's destroying their land. It's killing their animals, making their people sick. It's terrible. And during those 5 weeks, we were able to travel around Ecuador a lot, actually. We canoed places. We hiked places, long bus rides to different places. We flew to the Amazon. And all the places we went, we learned so much. We went to a city in the Amazon where we got a toxic tour, and we saw the oil pits and the dead carcasses in them. in the Amazon where it's beautiful, and then they have these oil pits. It's terrible. And we went to a small village where there was barely any electricity. There was no tourists in the Amazon, called Sarayaku. And there we learned how the women organized, and they actually held the oil company employees captive, and they basically told them about how it's their land and how important it is to preserve it and not destroy it. And they actually fought them off, so they left. And we went to Intag, which is in the Andes Mountains, and there they were fighting off mining companies that were coming in and mining, also destroying their land and their community. And we met with a lot of grassroots leaderships and learned their struggles and the way they were able to fight for their land. And we really got inspired. But I have to say that out of all the grassroots leaders we met, out of all the locals we talked with, out of all the organizations we met with, that the most inspiring person to me was an 11-year-old boy named Manuel, who we met in Sarayaku, because he was unable to use his legs, and it was really sad. But so he wasn't able to play with his friends. He couldn't watch TV and cartoons, couldn't listen to music. But still, he was the happiest person I've ever seen. And I realized it was because of all the beautiful surroundings and the wonderful people he had in his community. And it really made me realize that valuing materialistic things is so pointless, and that happiness comes way easier than everyone thinks, and the importance of having a good, strong, supporting community. I'll pass it off to Dan.
Hi, again, my name is Dan Smith, and I'm a graduate of CREW, Open Metal CREW. Before joining Pangea, all of us were from different backgrounds and had different struggles, but we all share the same common goal to affect our community in a positive way. Before Pangea, a lot of us didn't know where to start, and really didn't have like a model of what a model of how to get started to serve your community. So the Pangea project was that start for most of us. I'm just going to read to you what I wrote, because I took a lot of time writing this, and I really want to read it. Okay. Each of us came from different backgrounds and struggles, but we all shared the same goal to get involved in our community. Before the Pangea Project, many of us had no idea how to serve our community or what a model of community looked like, or simply how to get started. The Pangea Project was that start for most of us. Pangea exposed us to many different ways to get involved in our community. First, by getting involved in our community, we demolished an old church building and participated in workers' rights events involving immigration laws. Second, by meeting similar people who also wanted to help serve their community. We did this by driving down to Corvallis, Oregon to be a part of Peace Jam 2008 with guest speaker, Nobel Peace Prize winner Adolfo Perez. And lastly, gaining a global perspective by learning about wealth disparity around the world and peak oil. Pangea has shaped us not only to have a positive effect on our community, but ourselves. After coming back from a trip, many of my team members expressed going to college and stop having a job and finding a career, their music, and even becoming an ESL teacher abroad. I was amazed by how much people changed in their drive. I really got a sense of how impacting this experience was during our first presentation. One of my team members began to express how they felt about the trip, and that they could picture their whole life, spending their whole life in that one country. As the presentation went on, you could see the pain but joy in her face from going to this trip. Pangea is that impacting. Pangea is more than a group of young adults that got to travel. Pangea is a program that believes in empowering the youth and their community through being conscious of their community and the community outside of their community. Currently, we're working on our leadership phase, which is where we speak to local schools, events, and to donors of the Pangea Project. Last week, we actually went to KBOO radio station and did an interview for them to tell them what Pangea is about and to answer more questions they had about Pangea. I think this is the most important part of our the whole process, because it actually gets to show that, you know, us as youth, we took this opportunity to like actually get to help our community, and we didn't wait for like the government to help us do this. We actually, you know, instead of being we became proactive by doing this, and to also show that our time down there was not just like a vacation or something. We actually learned a lot of valuable information that we can carry on to our community and our future lives. And also the Pangea Project actually has a program for our graduates to keep them with the Pangea program and to help them also help others for generations to come. And that's all.
Well, thank you, Dan and Elizabeth and Isabel. You folks have a tremendous amount of wisdom, and now you have some experience. And I look forward to watching how you folks develop as our future leaders. So thank you very much for being here. Let's give these young folks
good work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to begin the regular part of our council meeting. And you folks don't have to stay for that if you don't wish to, so. City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman. Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 1334, request of Lee Iacuzzi to address council regarding hate crime and reach CDC.
Mr. Iacuzzi here?
I believe she's not here.
Okay. Please read the next.
Item 1335, request of Patricia A. Trice to address council regarding family rights. She called and is not able to make it and will reschedule.
Okay.
Item 1336, request of Carol Justice to address council regarding Local 189's Labor Day picnic notice.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Please state your name when you speak. You have 3 minutes.
My name is Carol Justice. I work in the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management as an Office Support Specialist 3. I'm also a shop steward and an executive officer for AFSCME Local 189. It is in my union capacity that I speak to you today. I also want to introduce on my left, Mark Gibson. He works in the Water Bureau. He is a meter technician, and he is also our chief shop steward. On my right, I have Joanne Hampton. She works in PDOT. She is a parking enforcement officer, a primo parking enforcement officer. And she's also our secretary on our executive board. We represent more than 1,100 member voices, and we really wish to acknowledge Commissioner Sam Adams' sponsorship with Commissioner Nick Fish's assistance to get our distribute our Labor Day picnic invitation to every city employee on the citywide email system. It seems such a simple act, but until this year, we have been denied access to this medium entirely. Clearly, this sponsorship has served to open the door of collaboration. It is with pride that we work in one of the most progressive cities in America, and it is with hope that the state of our labor relations would reflect that same. My mom always said that actions speak louder than words, and yours has proved that when we work together, we truly can make Portland happen. We look to the future with hope and optimism. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. J. James, did you want to say anything?
I'm being quiet today.
Well.
Wow.
You stunned me into silence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Please read the next.
Item 1337, request of Peter Fournier to address council regarding recycling theft. He called and is not able to make it and has rescheduled.
Okay. We will move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Does any member of this audience wish to pull any particular item from this consent agenda? Hearing none, please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Move to the regular agenda. Please read item 1357.
Adopt City 2008-2012 Equal Employment Opportunity Affirmative Action Plan.
It's a second reading. Call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
I just want to say I got a great email from Anna on the promotional observation I made, and she suggested, as the good advocate that she is, that I send a letter to my bureau directors asking them to make sure that our promotional exams have on the oral boards folks that represent the community, which was an excellent idea, and I am going to do today, and intend to carbon copy my colleagues in case they want to use my verbiage as a template for themselves and their bureaus. So it was an obvious thing to say, Anna, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of it first, but thank you for the suggestion, and that'll be out today or tomorrow. Thanks. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 1358.
Continue a one-time exception to HR Administrative Rule 6.03 to allow carryover of vacation leave in excess of 2 years accrual and to continue a one-time exception to the HR Administrative Rule 8.03 to allow carryover of management leave for eligible employees on the Enterprise Business Solution Project team.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 1359.
Vacate a 1 foot unnamed street dedication lying between Southeast 75th and 76th Avenues, north of Southeast Division Street and south of Lincoln Street, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 1360.
Create a local improvement district to construct street and stormwater improvements north of Mark Street in the Northeast 109th Avenue Local Improvement District.
Second reading, call the vote.
Sorry. Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 1361.
Authorize agreement with National Marine Fisheries Service to implement the Bull Run Water Supply Habitat Conservation Plan.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
I'd like to just say to my colleague, Commissioner Leonard, that I was tremendously impressed with the forum we had last week and a presentation by your bureau. It's the second time this month that I've heard people talk about historic actions by this council. Now, one of those actions is not complete, but today we're going to complete work on the leadership that you've demonstrated in this issue. And the fact that we're planning for the next 50 years is very reassuring to all of us, particularly those of us who have young children who will be affected by this vision. I also want to acknowledge what all of the stakeholders said at the hearing, which was the collaboration. In this action, we are taking strong progressive action to comply with the Endangered Species Act. But in the background, of course, is our ongoing obligation to comply with the Clean Water Act. And I think that through the collaboration and through the leadership that you've demonstrated, you've strengthened the city's hand in negotiations, which we will be going through in the future, on continuing compliance with the Clean Water Act. So I want to just thank you for your great work on this, and I'm very proud to vote aye.
Thank you.
Leonard.
And while some of us may look out to the next 50 years and recognize that we're only doing this for our children and grandchildren, I just learned the other night that Nick comes from a family where his grandfather actually lived to 103. So I expect you for that last 3 years when this term, when the term of this agreement expires, to come down here and sit down here, if not you're still on the council, and remind those future city council people what their obligations are. Thank you very much for your nice words.
Potter.
So will Commissioner Leonard be there to greet him?
I don't think so. I'm looking forward to waking up tomorrow.
Excellent piece of work, and thank you for your leadership.
Appreciate it.
I vote aye. We're recessed until 2 p.m. this afternoon.